Today's title is God's Gift in Christ by the Spirit. As we embark on this message, if you would join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for your very presence and the Son and the Spirit that you form such a perfect harmony and relationship and love. And God, you extend it to us. I ask that you would take this message, that you would say what you want, that the words would be heard as you intended for each one. And God, I just thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We are active in mission because of what we believe about God. And you may say, I'm not active in mission. You may say that I sometimes am active in mission. But I want you to listen and think about what mission is and what mission is in your life. I think there will be some interesting takeaways as we get there. We are active in mission. It's what we do. And it may be something like opening a door. It may be something about just saying hi to somebody you don't know. On Friday mornings, I've been attending with a group from years gone by. We finally, after COVID, were able to get together. And we meet at 6 a.m., except instead of Cracker Barrel, we meet at St. Francis Hospital. Because one of the employees, one of the guys that goes with us, that meets, has to go to work at 7 o'clock at the hospital. So in the course of going there, the first time Laura looked on Fine Friends and thought, what's he doing at the hospital at 6 in the morning? But anyway, we got through that. But what I've come to find, there's a lady that checks us out through our breakfast line. A little short, and she is just a doll. I mean, she just loves people. And I've just engaged and said hi. Well, that led to a lot more than hello. And this last week, as I was coming into the hospital, so was she, and she just waved. She was happy to see. I thought, wow. And she knows on Fridays I'm going to come in. And all we did was relate and share experience. I may never see this person outside of that environment, but it's simple little things. It's what we do. What the church is doing is shaped and motivated by our understanding of who God is as Father, Son, and Spirit. So I'm going to give you three or four scenarios or subjects. Loving people, that's the church. We're a part of the church. Loving people as Father, Son, and Spirit love them. That's what we are asked to do. Preaching the gospel. You may not pull out a Bible or your iPhone or your Bible app and preach from that. You may just share the gospel, and that is that they're important. They have value. Those little simple things, making disciples. Do you make disciples? Disciples are just students. We participate as a church, as students, and we equip people for ministry. If you haven't had the opportunity to attend a Wednesday evening planning session for Camp Derby, you haven't begun to understand. But that's what this is, preparing people for ministry. Well, what kind of ministry? Well, it's going to be with a whole bunch of kids, little kids. And they can't give anything but themselves. And in some cases, that may be very a difficult thing for some child to share themselves. But we're praying that God, using people, us, others that have come in, to minister and love to these children so that, when they go home that first day, they're going to go, wow, I want to go back. Those people really cared about me. And that's what we're doing. That's just one example that's coming up very quickly. Each gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chose a different way to end their gospel. And if you've read it, you read through it, but did you ever think that there was a different ending for each one? Mark, he focused on the empty tomb with the fearful first witnesses. Remember, the disciples all huddled in a room, a locked room. They were afraid. That's how Mark ended. Luke concludes with the ascension of Jesus and quickly moves into Acts. The story of Acts, the books of Acts, follows right behind Luke in his writing style. John chooses to focus on Jesus' appearance to his disciples. He focused on what they, as they appeared. Matthew, who we will read today, chooses to conclude his account with Jesus' commissioning his disciples to make disciples. And that's what the reading of today was. Matthew, as he ended his gospel, Matthew's ending signals a new beginning. Remember, it started from Galilee with Jesus. But what does Jesus do? He brings the disciples back to Galilee, the place where his ministry began. And that's where it goes. And from there, it goes everywhere. And we're still a part of that receiving or recipient from Galilee as it flows around the earth. So we think about the impact of that is still ongoing. It's still circling the globe. Jesus's ministry is not coming to an end. He sends the disciples from Galilee to all nations, and we're a part of that. And it's such a gift to think about our involvement in what that looks like. Today's text, again, was from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Verse 16, the disciples are to meet Jesus on a mountain. Now, that has a certain amount of significance. You go into the Old Testament, there was so much imagery and history that Jesus, as the Lord of the Old Testament, portrayed on a mountain. Probably the one that comes most to our mind is the Ten Commandments that was given on the mountain. Mountains were a place of divine revelation. Meeting Jesus on the mountain, we learn who he is and who we are as his followers. So we understand, you know, even in the New Testament, the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a lot of learning curve in that. And those men, Peter, James, and John, came down a whole lot different than they went up. They understood who they were. Never separate the revelation of God as triune from our efforts and engagement of mission. Without knowing who God is, as revealed in Jesus, our missional efforts can become doing mission on our own power. If we don't understand where we are and what God is involved in our life, in that relational triune imagery of us, then we may end up trying to do a lot of things on our own. That doesn't always work out too good, at least for me. But that's probably not the best way to look at that or to do that. But the concept of triune is a relational. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit loves the Father. And it is just this huge, embellishing love that is there. And we have been ask or extended into that relationship. That's something that we can have a part in. Mission must always move down from the mountain of God's revelation. Things move to us. You know, God doesn't come up to us. He brings things to us. There's two observations I want to point out. The first one, Jesus does not send us on a mission when everything is perfect. So if you're sitting at home and going, yeah, I'm ready to go on mission, but this needs to happen, and this needs to happen, and oh, this other thing needs to happen because it's not even close to perfect. I'm going to mess it all up. He does not send us and wait for everything to be perfect. So recognize that, okay, mission can happen at any time. He doesn't call us once we're qualified. Who handles my deficiency? If I'm deficient, I mean, I'm not qualified. Who's taking care of that? Jesus is. Jesus calls us to his mission, and he goes with us. So it's not my mission. It's not your mission. It's Jesus' mission. And that's what we have to consciously think about as we are doing things. Is it mine that I'm doing it, or is it Jesus's? And it really ultimately is always Jesus, because it's not about us. The second one, Jesus takes our baggage. How often are we hesitant to engage in ministry or mission after we've been betrayed or hurt? I don't want to go there again. I got my teeth kicked in. I don't want to be a part of that. That really isn't what is being asked, what you want. Is it your mission? No, it's Jesus' mission. And who's going to do Jesus' mission? He is. You just get to participate with it. And think about that. I don't have to have the weight or the burden or that baggage to carry around. Liken this to a family member that, and they always had baggage. They was just, it didn't matter where you went, they were hauling this baggage with them. Whether it was physical, whether it was emotional, it was just there. Are we called to be baggage handlers? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus designed any one of us to be a baggage handler. If you go to the airport and the guy out of the gate at the entrance, he's got a little dolly and you get to drop your baggage right there. You don't even have to take it in. He's the baggage carrier for your physical baggage. How much more important or how much better would it be to take that emotional baggage and say, here, take this. I'm done. It's consuming me. And you don't have to pick it back up when you go back out the door. So often we're good at coming into an environment and they're talking about doing this. And okay, leave your baggage at the foot of the cross. And great examples, great imagery. But how many people go back by the cross and pick it up as they go back out in a figure of speech? We don't need to do that. It's not our job. It's not what we're required to do. Jesus says, give it to me. He takes our baggage. We need to hand that baggage over. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Why would you doubt? Why would you doubt Jesus? Is things bigger than Jesus? Are those baggage items so huge that you can't see Jesus for the baggage? I don't know. This is something for you to think about and talk about. What is the fuel of mission? What is it that drives mission? Seeing Jesus and responding to Jesus. That's simple. When mission or an opportunity comes along, when I met this lady at the cash register, or as I met her, she walked in on Friday morning, did I expect any kind of a mission out of that? No. Who did I see? I saw Jesus in this lady because she was smiling. I mean, it's 6 a.m. She's going to work and she's smiling. She's happy. She's friendly. When I got through the line to actually purchase, she says, come back and see me. It was so positive. I felt like, no, this is responding to Jesus, to his love of this person. Worship and witness go together. As we think about that, we will not be able to contain our worship. Have you been in an environment where worship is so powerful? You just sing or you dance or you're just so involved in it that you can't express how awesome that is. I know in years past with young people at summer camps, it's loud, very loud, and they are bouncing and dancing, and the energy that is put forth, I mean, it is so contagious to watch. Pretty soon, you're tapping your toe, or you're involved in it. And the thing about it, when you think about worship and the witness, you want to share it. When those kids were involved in this worship set, you wanted to be involved in it. You didn't want to sit outside. You wanted to sit in and enjoy it and be a part of it. You wanted to share in what they were experiencing. As we witness to others, as we worship with others, don't you want them to share in what you're experiencing? If you are experiencing the absolute love of Jesus in your life, don't you want others to experience that also? It's Jesus' mission, and it's his faithfulness that will see us through. It's all about Jesus. The motivation for ministry and mission is found in the very nature of the triune God, relational. His eternal and inexpressible love for all mankind. There isn't a man or a woman alive on this earth that God doesn't love, that Jesus doesn't reach out to and love and has paid the price of their debt. His desire is to include everyone in this triune life. There's no, oh, accept this person or accept this race or accept this gender. No, everyone. It's all there. In verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus takes the initiative and comes to the disciples. He says, and Jesus came to them. He didn't sit on high and say, come on up. He came to us where we are. He found you in your life. And maybe you can remember where that was. And maybe it's been too long ago. But the bottom line is he came and found you. And he didn't lack for authority because it says all authority in heaven and on earth. You don't get any more authority than that. Jesus uses the authority given him for our good and not to dominate and coerce us into obedience. There's not a do's and don'ts and you will be punished and chastised oh, and your health will probably fall apart because of your choice. No, none of that. He uses it for good. In verse 19, he concludes, go therefore. Wherefore? What's the therefore? Therefore is a reference to what Jesus just talked about. Given all authority on heaven and earth. So go with all authority on heaven and earth via Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go. Teach, and I'm with you. It's that simple. As we go, we don't go by ourselves. We don't even have to take the baggage if we'll give it away, because he'll take it. To teach, that may just be simply living your life, loving other people, relating to other people. There are a lot of folks that if you say hi to them, don't know what to do with that. They literally look at you like, what do you want? And maybe you do it again and again. And somewhere down the line, why do you keep saying hi to me? You don't know me. And it opens a conversation. It opens a dialogue, an opportunity for something so simple as to just be polite. And they know that, no, you're intentional about saying hi to me. Why? And that's where the teaching, that's when you can share your life example. You know, I used to be like that, you might say. People would say hi, and I would go, oh, no. And then they would say hi again. And I'm going, why are you saying hi to me? It works over time. It may not be the first time. It may not be the 10th time. But a simple hello can go a long way. I know the gentleman that went to work or that was working for the city when I retired, they took my vehicle. He told me, a few months later, he said, it's a pain to drive your truck. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, you got to wave at everybody. He said, I mean, I got people I don't. I said, that's okay. Wave at people. Let them know you acknowledge them. He said, it's really been a stress for him because he wasn't that kind of a person, but I think he's learned to wave a few times now. It is on the basis of Jesus having all authority that we can go on mission. We don't have to go on our own. We don't have to rely on our skill set. We can go with Jesus, who is carrying the ball, if you will. Who is helping us as we learn the process. Our deficiencies and doubts do not disqualify us or determine the outcome. Oh, what a bummer. I thought I was off the hook. We must not see mission as something we do apart from Jesus, because apart from Jesus, we have a lot of disqualifiers. We have a lot of not good outcomes. But with Jesus, it's victory. It's a relational victory. The commission to make disciples of all nations has everything to do with being in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This phrase, Father, Son, and Spirit, implies belonging. Absolute belonging. When you belong to something you love, how important is it to you? When you're involved as a parent, in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, we'll have Father's Day. If you've experienced fatherhood, if you've experienced being an uncle, that is the role of a father so many times, how awesome is that? You belong. You absolutely belong. You have a purpose. And that purpose is not yours. It's what God is using you for. To become a disciple of Jesus is to belong to his Father in the Spirit. That's how it all comes together. It's Father, Son, and Spirit in unity, drawing each one of us into that relationship. Disciples are those who are in union with Christ, who share in all the Father and Son and Spirit share together in their life. What we have is not our own. This is something we've been drawn into. This is a gift that we've been given. And we're asked to share it. That doesn't, again, mean you pull out your Bible and you're sharing it. It's something very simple. God will direct what that is. Just trust him. It's not my mission. It's not what I choose always, but it's what's been given and said, come along. Let's do this together. Let's share life together. The doctrine of the Trinity teaches us that God is a sharing God. Can you begin a list and complete a list of all the things that God has shared with you? I know I can't. One, my memory won't work that well. But the events that he has done in my life so many times. And he is a sharing God. And you know, in the New Testament talks, ask. There's a reason. He wants to hear. What am I looking for? What am I asking for? And if it's the right time and it's his will, he answers it. It may be not yet, but it'll come. But he still wants to hear and to hear what I want or to what I desire to ask of and share. And it's so often how wonderful you can share that with somebody else. How God intervened in your life. And if you're convinced of it, you don't have any problem sharing it. You don't have any problem, whether they believe it or not, it's not the issue. It's how you relate and allow God to relate to you. The Great Commission is the Lord giving us a share in the triune life of sharing. And that's what we are. We're gifted with that absolute love, relational, and we belong. How awesome is that? On this Trinity Sunday, we think of Father, Son, and Spirit. We think of the relationship that he has included us in. Let's share it. Be willing to say hi. Be willing to be imperfect and still do things. Let God lead us. What a gift. As we come to the Lord's Supper, I want to read again from Matthew 26 and verse 29. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I know I've covered this before, but as we think about Jesus saying that day is coming when I will drink this new with you, Jesus is promising them that the next Lord's Supper or communion he will have with his disciples and us will be when the Father's kingdom is established on this earth. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. How awesome that will be. The fruit of the vine will once again be poured out as Jesus, the bridegroom, receives his bride, the church, saying on that day, "Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." From Revelation 19 and verse 7. And so, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, "These are the true words of God," from Revelation 19 and 9, "that when Jesus and we too shall drink again of the fruit of the vine." We come in here weekly and we have the opportunity, and it's a blessing to share in this meal. But it also looks forward to that time when we will be able to participate in this meal personally with Jesus. That day is coming. That relationship that he has with us now will be strengthened as never before in that environment. What a gift it is to be able to share in this communion, in this meal together with Jesus. If you would bow your heads. Father God, I do come before you and ask that you would bless the elements at the table that represent Jesus' broken body and his spilled blood. And God, for the unity that you have drawn us into, for this opportunity as we look forward to the return of Jesus, and we look forward to your kingdom being here on earth. And it's so wonderful to think about, and so beyond what that'll actually be, and God, how awesome that will be, and we thank you. I do pray for your blessing and your guidance, and that you would be with each one as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. As this day moves on, think about the awesome relationship that you're called into.
Thank you for this time we had together today. Guide us through this next week to glorify you and spread your love. Amen. And finally, from 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a great week.